Hi, I'm Professor Allen.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Short Box Showcase.
Episode number, not applicable.
Yeah, but it's okay. We'll restore legacy numbering next episode.
Because in this episode, we're going to talk about the thorny issue of comic book numbering and the implications it has on organizing our collections.
And the collective brain bleeds induced upon many, many a nerd.
Now, when we talk about issue numbering, remember that not every periodical has issue numbers. If you're looking for a specific old issue of Time Magazine or Sports Illustrated or an academic journal, it has either a cover date. Oh, I need the October 24th, 2011 issue of Newsweek. There's something in there I need. Or I need volume one, the spring issue of the Journal of blah, 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 blah. So the idea of a periodical having an assigned number,
a sequential numerical value
from the publisher is not a given in periodicals.
It's a choice.
It didn't have to be this way. But I think there's something about assigning a number, even instead of a month and year, missing a number in the collection just stands out
to us more than... It kicks in that completionist, totally irrational need.
And I just think if you had January, February, March, May, June, that would not stand out as much as having 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that works for us. However comic books stumbled into that by accident, I would think.
I'm just saying.
It's worked.
Numbers on Pokemon cards.
Baseball cards have numbers.
Same thing. There's
an obvious lack when you don't have that number. Now, a lot of people know this, but back in the newsstand days...
Way back in ye olde times.
What distributors and owners of newsstands wanted were books with high numbers. I know, this blows our minds today. You would purchase more issues of issue 118 of a comic book, because that's proof that the first 117 issues sold. Why would you take a chance on something called number one?
Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to be a success or a flop. Why would anyone buy a number one, a book with no history? And of course, that changed with the speculation boom and intertwined with that, the creation of comic book specialty shops. There's sort of a cycle there. One of those beget the other, beget the other, beget the other.
Once all the comic companies lived in harmony, but everything changed when the speculators attacked.
And then all we
wanted...
I'm sorry,
that's all I could hear as soon as you said, and everything changed.
Because all we want now are number ones.
That polybagged holofoil number one.
Recently, when we were talking about female superheroes in response to an email, I mentioned Silk as an example, which had a number one in 2015, went 1 through 7, started another number one in 2016. DC, again.
Yet another.
Sending up.
Renumbering.
A whole bunch of number ones this summer. Why? Because it works, I guess?
But statistically, they sell.
It's just part of comics. And it can occasionally cause us poor collectors to pull our hair out.
Yeah.
Between either a new title, a new volume, a new version, a new number.
We will get to volumes.
It can just get...
We will get to that.
A little bit confusing. But let's give, I guess, props to DC following a trend that Marvel's done a few times with announcing the legacy renumbering of Action and Detective.
Yes, which
back into the 900s. Now, logistically, there's a problem, is that there will never be an Action 925. For example.
Yes.
I don't know where they got it, like 908 or something like that. Then we had a 1 through 52, and then we're going to get a 963 or whatever it is. So there will be numbers, where no comic book exists. Fantastic Four has that as well. If you go to Mike's Amazing World or Comic Book DB and try to follow along the numbering of Fantastic Four, you know, it has to send you from one page to another page to another page, because after issue so-and-so,
it was retitled to this, and renumbered.
Goes to FF for this, or it goes that, but then the numbering comes back 25 issues later, and so the comic companies at some point do want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to sell the number ones, but they also want to celebrate important milestones.
Like, say, Action 1000.
Which is not that far away from us.
And I think, honestly, the lack of, say, an Action Comics 925 is about 65% of the raging that happened with the new 52. Because even through all of the previous reboots, renumberings, re-everythings, Action and Detective survived with their numbering, like, from the beginning. No. And that was the thing I saw, the historic renumbering of Action Comics, as though this was going to be a great thing. And I was just like, oh, guys.
You don't know what you're saying.
What hath ye wrought?
But even at the time, as much as the Dio or whoever, Jeff Johns, whoever the spokesperson for this was saying, and this is a new number one, starting from scratch, we'll never go back. So everyone knew that at some point, as they approached 1,000, they would somehow manage to
make it a big deal. Yeah.
So the legacy numbering or dual numbering, there would be some kind of something.
Didn't that happen with Detective, where they got something, where they got it technically before 900, but then for 900 there was like a note,
or
like for 950 or something,
or one of the, maybe was it one of the year anniversaries or something, big
like
number
that
anniversaries
was
they
also
were able
a
to.
Big number. So it was Detective Comics like 13.
And
like had a note that said also it's like the 900th issue of Detective Comics.
Right, right. Is the only thing worse than not numbering or bad number is dual numbering.
I was going to say, you've just
that
made it so much
bad.
Worse, because now do you go Detective Comics, not one, but maybe 600 through 899.
Does the collector.
900/12 and then 926 and up.
So,
like,
a question
to
our...
Or do you put it in Detectives with the other series at the ones?
Now, a question to either our Batman fans, Jim Romoldi or others, or the super fans, Mike Bailey or Bob or John Wilson, whoever. Are you going to put the new 52s in between the end of the old and the... Are they going to fill in those empty spaces?
Or
since it's
a
new title,
series?
Do they go at the end or the beginning? And that's part of when we talk about numbering. It's not just numbering. It's the title, the volume. It affects all phases of organizing. Not just us collectors or library workers as well. Even the retailers. Sort of, where do you put these? And retailers do have an effect sometimes. There's a famous case when West Coast Avengers was out. It kept its numbering but changed its name to Avengers West Coast. Simply so on a newsstand, Avengers and Avengers West Coast were next to each other instead of at the top left and bottom right of however big the
newsstand
was. So an Avengers fan could easily grab both of them. So this idea that the retailers don't have influence on this is, of course they do. The publishers do, collectors, it's sort of, everyone has their own different
stake
in this concept of naming, numbering, etc.
When we were first pitching this concept for this episode sort of to each other, we laughed a little bit among ourselves that there have been so many issues where people talk about how they organize our collections. We're like, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Alphanumerically. It's like, what other way is there to organize your collection other than alphanumerically?
Okay, you know, at least one third of our listeners have already opened the feedback email to us.
Oh, I know. Send your hate mail to TrentisMagnus at relativelygeeky.com.
We'll forward it right on to him.
But then you even think about, like, okay, well, for the majority of sensible people, for all of the other people like myself who are in love with the Dewey Decimal System... what do you do in these renumbering, reissuing, retitling? It actually does get really complicated the more we thought about it. Your question to me was, I have been collecting the Constantine : The Hellblazer series. There's going to be a total of 13 issues before Rebirth happens.
And then in Rebirth, there's going to be a Hellblazer.
I do not currently have any of the old Hellblazer issues because I buy them all in trade because they're like 35 years old. So I have those in trade in a completely separate area than my single issues.
The H Hellblazers. You have the C.
Then I have Constantine C for Constantine. I have the C for Constantine because I do have two or three issues of the New 52 Constantine. Behind that is Constantine the Hellblazer. I will have all 13 issues of that. And then back in the H's is going to be the new Hellblazer number one, etc. However, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my Rebirth issues. Because all of Convergence is Convergence and then alphabetical by character.
Right.
One and two. There you go. Very Convergence nice
Action, Convergence Blue Beetle, Convergence Detective, Convergence JLI, etc.
But because each one of the Rebirth titles are a single, essentially number zero, do they go together as in their own event under Rebirth? Or should I put them as though they are Hellblazer number zero Rebirth, Wonder Woman number zero Rebirth,
right.
Detective Comics number zero Rebirth?
Right, because I was just thinking, again, on the Constantine/Hellblazer.
So that's hard enough.
You're going to have Constantine, then you'll have DC Bombshells and Elf Trek and Flash and Green Lantern, and then eventually get to Hellblazer. So they will be separated by some amount of comics, maybe in a different box.
But that is also a question for, if I did have Hellblazer original issues, would I have... Is it the character in chronological order?
I know people who do organize their comics by main character, which puts Action and Superman fairly close to each other, maybe in the same box.
Or even an intershelved, which
kind of destroys
my mind.
That's a bit much.
But
there was a stretch in the 90s where there were four Superman books triangle numbering.
Honestly,
they had discounted secondary numbering a few minutes back. That was one time where it worked. It was an ongoing interconnected storyline.
I could see someone taking all four of those books and organizing them chronologically inter-serial.
Right. Yeah, right.
I don't know. Comic books are confusing. This is why libraries don't like ordering comic books, because it's really hard to make sure that you are ordering the correct series. I was very sad when I had to go look at my collection, and it was listed that we had volumes 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Saga of the Swamp Thing by Alan Moore. And I was workplace.
Right, at your library.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll go and make sure, like, for certain that we don't have two.
Right.
And then it's pretty cool you have number one, though. And it was really awesome. Went over and looked at it, and I was like, I only see 3 through 5. And then sort of off in the corner, I saw another Swamp Thing book, and I was like, oh, what's that? And I pulled it down. And it said that it was part of the series, that it was Alan Moore Swamp Thing number one. Swamp Thing by Brian K. Vaughan. From about 15 years later.
Right.
Volume one.
Not the same thing. Yes.
Not the same thing. Not the same run. Not the same year. Not the same creator. And it was the only one of that series that we had. Because when it was ordered, someone thought that we were filling in a series we already had.
Right. That you were filling in a hole. But it wasn't. Now, we talked about these upcoming Rebirth issues as if they're issue zeros, which does bring us to the concept of the issue zero. And I'm talking about the issue zero that is an origin being told, you know, after 15 issues have been out, something like that.
Yes.
So there is a difference
between the prequel issue.
Right, between chronological and numerical in the exact same title.
Because
we have All-Star Western and Demon
Knights
number zero. Are they at the start of your collection?
Where it is chronologically,
right.
I believe, in my collection. I have not actually looked at it in a while.
I think they came in after the first year, so it was after the 12s. Remember they were doing September events every year?
Oh, true, because it was.
So I think they did 1 through 12.
It was the annual sort of push.
But I think it's 1 through 12, then 0, but it does pick up at 13
okay.
after that. There's certainly a strong argument to put it right there that's when it was released.
Yeah, and
it
those
was,
are...
It was, and it was that month.
And I believe that both of them are Frame stories. That's yes. flashbacks yeah. in both of right, those issues origin within stories, the concept. So. Within the context of the issue that they are flashbacks.
Right, and with the context of the character in that version, that New 52 version of the title.
I should actually go check that, because I moved them before I moved out. I see. Reorged my collection. I'm actually not entirely sure where I put those number zeros.
Similarly, we'd have the question of the decimal issues, which Marvel started, DC did the next year when they did Villains Month
yeah.
in the New 52. I don't know that any of the books that we did had either got issue. To 24 no. or had a Villains issue.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because All Star Western got past those, it, but they did not have a villain issue.
But at least for DC, those were put out in order. That is, they did issue 24,
yeah.
then they did issue 24.1. If it was a bigger character, they had a 0.1, a 0.2, and a 0.3, depending how many villains' origins they had. Then you went to 25. Marvel has done it where later on they will go in and release 0.1s that sort of fit in...
conceptually like right. a number zero, but...
Right.
Inquels.
Exactly, right. I don't have any of those in my collections.
No.
But I wonder what I would do. I'm pretty much set on alphabetical and then numerical
mm-hmm.
within a particular run or volume.
Yeah.
So I would probably go back and intersperse it, because it does take place at yeah. that at
And
that
it's point. Numbered in that manner. It's not a flashback issue.
But again, I think fundamentally what we keep coming back to is when you're reading the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Do you start with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or do you start with the Magician's Nephew?
Start with the Magician's Nephew. That's
no,
how
you start with the Lion, the Witch, and the
that's
Wardrobe.
That's how they're... If you go to your library, that I is know, how they are numbered.
Because that has a number one on it.
It has a number one. You start with that one.
If it's what librarians do, I guess it's the right way to do it.
Side note, for a funny library story, our teen librarian had a little, like, 8-year-old nerd come and school him on Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe lore. Because the first one was Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it didn't have a number one. And this little, like, 7 or 8-year-old was very upset and let the librarian have a massive piece of their mind. It's one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed.
The other similar series when you were growing up was Redwall.
Which you read by the publishing date,
yes.
and I read by chronological order.
Exactly, because they were written, and you know, things fit in between different events. So again... This is one area where the nerdiness and the insanity is not just limited to comic
books. To the comic books, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
But a thing that is pretty much limited to comic books is a magical thing that I had never heard of. The negative one issue.
One issue.
Explain yourself.
I have one. I possibly have the only one. I don't know. Ultraman had a negative one. And it was promoted as before the something or another. So it was an attempt to even get before the zero issue, which I'm pretty sure they had as well.
Well, otherwise it would have been a zero issue.
Exactly. So this was the prequel to the prequel. This was the origin of the origin. The negative one issue. I laughed when I saw that one. And spent my good 25 cents on it. Because it's just worth having.
To say that you own possibly the only negative one issue in existence.
Yes.
Luke Giaconetti probably has one too,
score,
but still.
I know, but... From what I know of, I may have the only negative one issue of a comic, but we do know that DC put out a whole bunch of issue 1 millions.
I am eternally amused by the concept of the issue 1 million. I don't even know hardly anything about it. I just know it exists, and it makes me happy inside. What is it?
Well, I like the concept. They figured out issue 1 million on a monthly book. You work back, then you add where we started here in the 20th century, and you get the 853rd century, which is where issue 1 million would take place. I guess that didn't count Action Comics Weekly. Oh no, what do we do then? So they all took place in not just the far future, the really, really, really far future. So it was a, I thought, a pretty fun event as imaginary story slash Elseworld slash events go.
Okay, this is why I should not be allowed to write comic books.
Oh, no.
Because if I were working at DC at that time, I would have written Period Piece Legion, issue 1 million. This is why I should not be allowed anywhere near comic books. Because I would totally do that and, like, make up fake slang and just literally write a modern Legion issue and then have editor's notes translating really common words that nobody knows what those phrases mean in the future and make it all, like, Shakespearean.
Yes.
I would do that.
Now, the only other thing is if every book is taking place in the 853rd century.
Yes.
Wouldn't the Legion books be taking place in the 863rd century? I hope they did that. Because they were always 1,000 years ahead. I hope Legion 1 million took place 1,000 years later than everything else in the 1 million.
Either one.
It had to be, right?
Like,
I mean, it had to be.
Yeah.
Come on.
That is what that is 150% what I would do. Or do, like, an all-star Western. That is, like, 5,000,000% anachronistic, where everyone speaks like it's Shakespeare and they have cell phones. Like, that,
Perfect. That would be exactly
my thing. April Fool's.
So where would you put your 1 million issue if you had it? Would you put it at the end and keep putting ones in front of it? Assuming okay. that... Would you leave that many long boxes empty? Knowing that eventually you would fill it up and get to it.
That would be hilarious.
That would be funny.
It is a thing where because it was a company-wide thing.
Right. So it's sort of an event
so
or an annual type
thing.
It's
more of an event I think I would follow along with Convergence. Of consider it all DC 1 million. Like, I would probably put it in the D's. Be
right.
like, DC 1 million is what the thing is called. And then DC 1 million, Aquaman, DC 1 million, right. Batman, DC
now,
1 million.
There is a DC 1 million omnibus that contains them all. So DC, to some extent, is saying,
it's
acknowledging that this is one thing. And so filing them together probably makes the most sense. Because they would certainly be more interconnected to each other than they would be to the other versions of their of their title. That one makes sense. What if the event is running through the annuals? Well, we have to talk about annuals first.
Let's talk about annuals
because this is
a food fight.
Now, I was listening to the fellow who runs Chasing Amazing, that blog. One man's attempt to collect every issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Which is a mighty quest.
And I think last I checked, he was at 8, 10, or 12 short. I mean, he's getting pretty close. And he was talking with another Super Spider-Man
completionist
collector who may have been doing Spectacular or may have been doing Amazing as well, and can't remember which one of these two gentlemen was adamant that annuals counted in the run. You did not have a complete run unless you had the annuals. The other fellow was adamant that annuals are optional books
because they are numbered separately,
and historically they started with reprints. Now, that quickly stopped being the case, but often an annual would be a reprint collection. And so the theory from a collecting point of view is I already have those stories. Plus, they're numbered separately.
But then you say, but FF Annual 4. Because in one issue, they're not married. And in the issue, Reed and Sue are married.
What happened?
What happened in the middle?
So, yeah. To me, I've always considered annuals part of the runs.
I agree.
So genetically, you probably agree.
the only exception being for reprint magazines.
I understand that part of the case, but that's not happening at this point.
Yeah, I own about 3, maybe 4 reprint comics.
Right.
And all of them are in runs that I am not completionist towards.
Right.
It's like a Superboy and the Legion.
Right.
I think I have 2 or 3 of your old 70s
right.
Legion reprint annuals
right.
from the 60s.
Right.
But I also don't have those 60s comics.
Right.
Because those reprints are the earliest
exactly.
issues that I have.
Right.
If I also had the issues, then I probably wouldn't have spent the 25 cents on the annual in the first place. But the majority of annuals from the 70s on are like large, important
right.
events we talked about. For our first anniversary episode, the Legion Annual with the marriage of Karate Kid and
Princess Projectra.
Princess Projectra.
And recently, someone sent to me, and I read the issue that takes place right before that, which I think is Legion 303. So if you just had, you have 303, the annual, that's the wedding, and then 304. So it fits right in. And I wouldn't file it there. That's a separate issue. But in that case, the annual is telling part of the ongoing, a major event, not in the sense of a comic book event. We'll talk about those in a second.
But an important event in the sequence of the story.
In the soap opera that are most comics, the soap opera that is definitely the Legion of Superheroes.
This is the thing, is I think a lot of my collection habits are based around the fact that my collection is about 75% Legion by volume. Well, no, with all the convergence, it's probably about 55. So 55% of my books are Legion books. All of my Legion books, 100%, are chronological by issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like issue date. Right. Bam. That is how they all are. Because kept being retitled and renumbered. But Legion is one of those series that has almost never rebooted.
Right. The once famous reboot Legion.
Is the exception, because I don't have any... And then New 52,
but they weren't even in the New 50. So, right. Now, here's my question. There was a time when Legion and Legionnaires were running at the same time.
I only collect one of those series, so I do not have to worry about that.
Interesting. See, but that would be chronologically, for a couple of years, about the only time that the Legion had two ongoing titles at the same time.
If they are doing the alternating, like the Superman books were...
Right.
Then I would intersperse them. Because that's the thing, is all of my... I am not a collector, I'm a reader.
Right, you want to pick up...
Pick up the issue, finish it, put it back, pick up the next issue, and it's the next chapter.
Right, agreed.
So I have my annuals intershelved.
Very reasonable.
I do not have my annuals intershelved for Wonder Woman. Or things that I only have 5 or 6.
Right, so the interspersed issues here and there.
Then I have the annuals at the end. You got me some, my Justice League annuals.
Oh, right. Now, those are nice because they tend to be one-off stories.
And I don't have any Justice League. So right. I have Justice League annual.
Right.
As a thing.
Right. And a handful of those, right.
And because I only have about 7 or 8, Justice League Europe, Justice League Standard, Justice League International, Justice League Antarctica. I have one of those.
You have the one.
That was a good purchase. All of those are intershelved. It's just by year.
Right.
Okay. For that entire section.
Right. Right.
Because I'm like, I want to know sort of what was happening at this time. But once you have like a run of a thing, then it's important to have that run, at least in my mind, pretty chronological. But
to some extent.
Then you get into issues like the Hellblazer, that if I did have Hellblazer.
The original.
The originals.
Right.
Would I have the original, you know, say I had 65 through 210.
Right. To put those
And then would it be 1 through 30? Or would it be 1 through 30? And then the ones that came out 30 years earlier? Because that gap's never going to be filled.
Right. It's very tricky.
The more we thought about this issue, the more we realized this is actually really complicated. And this is why, though it annoys me, I do try to have a lot of patience with the poor, 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 poor reference librarians who are attempting to make sense of our comic collection.
One of the first things...
Because it makes literally no sense.
One of the first things you noticed when you went to work at your library was how unusually...
I would say atrociously.
The graphic novels were labeled, cataloged, categorized, and then shelved.
Yes. Every graphic novel collection that we have was treated as a novel. Which means first writer's last name on the cover. Means that the Justice League Dark books, volume 1 is in M, volume 2 and 3 are in S, and I have no idea where volume 4 is. Like, I've never been able to find it. I think we have one, no idea where it is. It means that the Wonder Woman books are scattered all throughout, the Superman books are scattered all throughout, and the M section of our collection is horrific, because all Mulligan, Meltzer, Moore, Morrison, Miller, other Miller. And it means that that section is a complete mess. Like, we have probably 35 books that are by Alan Moore. I don't even want 70 that are by Grant Morrison.
Right.
And they are nowhere near one another. Like, there aren't even all of the Morrisons together, all of the Moores together, even though there really should be, because it's just too ponderous to take that entire section and make order out of it.
Right.
We're working on recataloging it. I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen with it, but it seems like they're going to move more towards a either title, a strict title, or a character.
Where on the shelves, Action Superman might be together, or near each other.
Only problem...
Batman the Detective, but...
Only problem with this is that there is no distinction between graphic novels and comic books. So, Mouse,
okay, right.
Persepolis, Blankets,
right.
and Justice League Dark Volume 2.
Right, OGNs and graphic novels,
cheap
trade paperbacks, they're all
Lumberjanes, Sweet Tooth,
right.
and the history of Jack Kirby in comics. Are
all
together.
Right.
I mean,
and
it's...
And some of those, the quote-unquote literary ones, should probably be in 741
in
under a traditional
section.
Nonfiction Dewey Decimal system, but some of the other ones shouldn't be. And I've been to
There's
some
one
libraries...
one copy in each section.
Exactly. Or issues one... Volumes 1, 2, and 3 are on the 741s. Collections 4, 5, and 6 are in the graphic novel section.
And the whole reason that this is kind of a mess right now to begin with is because that's what it used to be. That
right.
Mouse and Persepolis used to be in the nonfiction section, but they were
right.
like, but they're not nonfiction. One of those
right.
is obviously a fiction. The other one is a pseudo-biography.
It's a memoir slash, right.
But it's a slightly fictionalized
memoir, right.
you know, or,
right.
like, or like Blankets, which is a fictionalized memoir. Okay, these really shouldn't be in nonfiction. These should probably be in biography. Or Mouse should be in fiction, or with a historical fiction fantasy tag on it. I don't know. So
but if you're doing
everything.
Customer service or patron service, you should put them in the place where a patron is most likely to look for them.
Which is how all that stuff ended up in graphic novels.
Right.
But what it means is they took everything that was already in graphic novels. Well, everything that was in comic books got organized like graphic novels.
Right. So part of the problem is the Superman trades, even consecutively, are spread throughout because they're based on the writer, last name of the writer,
or even,
mostly.
The thing that's even worse is writer is on a series for a period of time, leaves for a decade, and the series is written by another writer. Writer comes back to that series.
Right.
So you have 1, 2, 3, 9, 10, 11.
Right.
Right next to each other, and you think, well, where's the missing volumes? Oh, we have them.
But they're in a different...
But they're in a completely different area, under a different author's last name.
Because comic books are unique in that, in terms of, if you go to the canonical Sherlock Holmes stories, they're all in the D's for Doyle.
Yep.
But if you go to all the canonical Superman stories, they're written by
Everyone.
Dozens and dozens of people, and they could theoretically be spread about. Anywhere in that section.
That's a difficulty. Like I said, we have, well, I thought that we had 2 Swamp Thing Volume 1s. We do have, I think, 2 or 3 Spider-Man Volume 1s. Because one is Volume 1 Collection 1, and one
right.
is Volume 2,
collection
1, and
right.
Volume 3 Collection 1. And those will occasionally all get put right next to
right.
each other. And the Collection 2, 3, 4, 5 of each of them is elsewhere.
I also saw ones in your library. That at least one Before Watchmen title was put under M because of the assumption that it was a Watchmen book written by Alan Moore.
Yep.
And I think it was one of the JMS ones or the so-and-so.
Nobody with the last name M, shockingly, wrote that book. I honestly would understand if, like, when we got
right.
a new comic book, it just got an M sticker.
Just because
You're
that's
statistically most likely.
Now, I do want to call out a few listeners in particular... for advice and feedback on this.
Okay.
Chris Franklin, have Cindy listen to this. I'm not sure if Kim Wiki listens to this podcast of ours. Mark Sweeney at I'm the Gun. He's a research librarian, I believe. Believe there are at least a couple others that I'm not remembering specifically.
Call out for all librarians.
Of library-related listeners. I'm
Some
fascinated.
Of the librarians.
I'm fascinated about how your... libraries organize the graphic novel sections, whether you think it makes sense. And then, of course, people who, like us, read a lot of our books. And I'm really curious, not just how your personal collections are organized.
But how your professional collections.
But how your professional, yeah. how the professional items are organized as well.
And I have been outspoken about my frustration with the system.
Yes.
Like, frequently. You know, at work, too many people.
Now, you know what that means?
Yeah?
When they get around to having the graphic novel reorganization committee meeting, Emily!
That started last week.
Oh, nice!
So, we are in the process of fixing this problem.
Nice, nice. So whatever feedback people do have...
send it quickly, because...
Users and employees of library systems,
we would appreciate,
please let Emily
all suggestions.
Know.
A lot of libraries have problems with Walking Dead.
Right.
Based around whether they get the hardcovers or the trades.
Right.
Because the hardcovers and the trades are both numbered, but have different numbers of the issues.
Right.
So if you get hardcover 1 and softcover 2
contains half of hardcover 1
is in half cover 2, right. And so...
How you organize those.
Yeah,
interesting.
The way that you deal with that and make... This is why... Fun little shout out to everyone. This is why your public library system actually probably does not want you to donate your personal books. Because they purchase specific series from specific publishers in order to make sure that everything is sequentially correct.
Right.
So we have one copy of, like, one series, one complete series of Jeff Lemire's Sweet Tooth in softcover. And we only purchase the hardcovers of Walking Dead.
Right.
We only get the hardcovers of this. We only get the soft covers of that in order to make sure that we don't have
that
duplication.
So within that, you're consistent and not duplicative as well.
But this whole numbering and volumes frustrate me so much as a fan and as a library employee. But I am so frustrated by the concept of volume, because then you have things like volume 1,
well, you're gonna
collection
have...
3... And volume 3, collection 1. Volume 3, collection 1 comes after volume 1. Volume 3.
Well, I talked about this on a recent episode. I think I talked about it in this episode as well. I recently read volume 1 of Silk. There's going to be another volume 1 of Silk that's going to collect. They're probably both going to collect issues 1 through 7, which were a year apart.
Yeah.
My concern is that you won't buy the second volume 1 because you already have volume 1 in the system. Potentially it's different writers that might trigger something, but
if you just look at it quickly.
Right, and it might not get on the list because the person said, "I'm pretty sure I bought this one already."
Yeah.
Someone who does not have the experience with graphic novels, and that was my comment about your graphic novel section, that it was organized by someone whose experience is books.
Yep.
Not graphic novels and comics.
So, speaking of volumes, I did not even really know that this was a thing, that the volume 1, right. Volume 2, volume 3, not in trade speak, but in, like, the issue numbering of volume 1, issue 300 versus volume 2, issue 70.
Right. Well, theoretically, it's when when you start with the new number 1, technically. But
however, in the last 20 years, there has been so much renumbering that I can never tell when their volumes overlap. Because volume 1 of Captain America and volume 1 of New Teen Titans are not anywhere near the same chronologically.
Same era, exactly.
They're not anywhere near one another. But volume 2 of Captain America and volume 2 of Teen Titans are almost the same time period.
Right.
Because the first volume of Captain America is like 400 issues. And then the second volume is like 98. Mm-hmm. And the first Teen Titans volume was like 106. And the second is 230. That eternally frustrates me. Because I saw someone attempting... This was when I was getting into Daredevil. I was going on Wikipedia a lot and looking at the way comics were cited. And a lot of things were saying, such and such event happens. Volume 1, issue whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. Then this happens. Volume 2, issue this. I'm like, okay, cool. And then it would cut back to volume 1, this thing happened. Mm. And I was like, wait, what? So wait, I thought volume 1 was like in the 60s. Well, but then there was a new volume 1. New volume 1 is in the 90s. Wait, so what volume are we in now?
Or the volume one may have been New Daredevil, or Daredevil Returns, or Daredevil Strikes, or Secret Daredevil, Daredevil Wars, Ultimate Daredevil,
Infinity Daredevil. So that just, the more that I realized the way that things were generally cataloged by volume just made no sense to me whatsoever. And I think now we're in like volume 4 of Daredevil, but the first volume went through like the mid 80s. The second one went through the late 90s. The third one went halfway through the 2000s. And this one has only been out for 4 years. I think we're technically starting volume 5 with their new number one from 3 months ago.
And in some cases it's the same writer. So it might be Mark Waid having written, again, that, forgive us for getting some of these numbers wrong.
Yes, these numbers will be wrong.
As an example, you know, Mark Waid may have written most of Volume 4 and part of Volume 5, but maybe someone else wrote part of Volume 4, the end, and it might be when you guys get around to them.
Confusion will just proliferate. For all that I kind of have issues with the Buffyverse comics in that I don't think they're very good, and their concept slightly annoys me, if only because there are a lot of shows that I would rather have a ninth comic season of than Buffy, but that's just me. I love what they do where they say that these 12 or 18 issues are season 8. Right. And then when that's over, we will do season 9. And when that's over, we will do season 10. That way, even if they break up the volume, the like trades, even if they break up the trades into smaller sections,
they're easy to organize. They're easy to keep track of for you and for readers.
It will say season 10,
part 1.
Part 4.
Right.
Okay, cool. So that goes at the end. Season 9, part 3. Season 10, part 1. Oh, well.
Perfect.
Right there. 1 comes after 3 in that case.
Yes. I wonder if it's a TV thing. Because that's what the new Doctor Who books coming from Titan Comics is doing as well.
I kind of really love their system. Like, explain it. But I'm in love with this concept.
Because it even gets more confusing for them. Because they have 4 ongoing titles. Doctor Who, the 9th Doctor. Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor. Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor. Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor. And they did 15-issue seasons. Which meant, logistically, I think DC is going to face this in Rebirth. In terms of they having multiple writing teams, multiple, you know, art teams to get 15 issues out in 12 or 13 months. But when they get to the end of that season, they're now up to the 2nd season, which admittedly makes putting these into your Excel spreadsheet a little complicated because they are now in Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, season 2, number 4,
yes.
Or whatever it is. It's long and it's cumbersome, but it's simplistic.
Yes. And then what they do for that is that rather than having a renumber or having it like a mini series where you get to the end and then there's a new number one for the next series, the seasons do not always align to a story arc.
Right.
And then what they just say is they just put a big sticker on the front that says, new story arc begins this issue.
Yeah. I saw that on one. It was an issue 6, right across the top, meaning if they were stacked up, you would see the top 1 inch of this page.
Yep.
New story arc begins inside.
If you went and you saw all of the Doctor Who comics, there would be all of the 9th Doctor comics, 10th Doctor, 11th Doctor, and 12th. And you're like, okay, which one of these am I interested in? 10. Okay, cool. You could see all the 10th Doctor comics and just flip through them for the one that says, the first issue that says, new story starts here.
Boom.
Get that one. And then get all of the sequential ones after it.
Right.
And you would be set.
Right.
And then if you were like, well, I didn't really like this story that much, and you see the next issue, it says new story arc starts here, you go, okay, either I'm done or we'll keep going. This gets into some of my academic issues with how in good God do you cite a comic book?
That has become, in the last decade or two, actually something that us academics I've had to worry about, mostly in literature or in art, but also occasionally in other fields as well, where a collection or an individual issue may well be cited.
This is what they do on Wikipedia, because they're trying to be semi-official. The official way to cite is with volume. But that tells you nothing about when this thing came out. Because Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, those do not in any way assume a certain set. Because if you have an academic journal and you get Volume 7, Issue 9, you're like, okay, well, this is a monthly journal.
Mm-hmm.
That means there are three more in this year. Right. And then the next one will start 4 issues from now.
Right.
It will be a new volume. Like, there is no number implied right, exactly. by volume. The best way I've ever seen it, I think, was a think piece, New York Times book review, you know, something.
Something that was trying to be something, a little more on the
something
that academic was, intellectual
yeah, something
side.
That was not an academic piece or, like,
right.
serious journalism, but, like, a legit literary.
Moving that direction.
A legit
yes.
literary publication.
Right.
And they, I believe, were talking about Daredevil. I think it was in a relation to mental illness.
Okay.
I was like, this was really cool. And what they were doing was looking at the entire history of Daredevil and bringing up citations.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they cited the books was, the first time they cited it, said, in his first appearance, quote, Daredevil, colon, issue number,
right.
end quote, comma, Stan Lee, comma, 1964, end parenthesis.
Right.
And I looked at that and I was like, oh, that is beautiful. And then for the rest of the time, it would say issue number, comma, Lee, comma, year.
Because if you get the year, the writer, and the issue number,
you know
you've
where
got
that
it.
Is.
Exactly. You can find that.
And that was beautiful.
And then they started
talking about Wade.
Mm.
And they were talking about Mark Wade books. And they said, first time he showed up, full title, Here Comes Daredevil, issue 1, Wade, 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, do not remember. Yep. Whatever year it came out. And then talked about all of the events in it, and then mentioned the new Daredevil, where they said, issue 1, comma, Wade, comma, 2016. So that way you knew it was Wade issue 1,
right.
but not Wade issue 1 from 2007. This is a later Wade issue 1.
That,
I was so excited.
Now, those books that you're citing, they may be in a different place in Blaine Dowler's collection than they are in J. David Weider's collection.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them would be able to find it in their collection
yep.
with that citation.
I really want that to become the official citation. Because if you have
method.
Those if you have those three pieces of information, you can find a book. Regardless of where it is. Regardless of what the number is, or the title, or where it's theoretically happening. That is the, like, dedicated amount of information
right.
that you need. So there's my little organizational rant. Let's bring this back from
now,
my ranting about if I ruled the world.
Let's get out of library science and
and academic
citations.
Let's leave the ivory tower behind us.
Oh, I want to talk just again a little bit about annuals, which we had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some cases, like your case with the Legion, you file it sequentially where it belongs, story-wise, that sort of thing. And I don't do that, but let me say that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in some titles where the annual is just a double-sized issue.
And that's what the Legion annuals are.
I totally get
Atlantis Attacks. Atlantis Attacks is its own thing.
You'd collect all those annuals and put them in A.
That is exactly where
they are.
They are not connected to this.
Right.
The ongoing story. They are in a sense their own event.
But if, for example, the Iron Man annual from Atlantis Attacks, which there probably was. It's hypothetical. Let's say, it would be an amazing coincidence if I were correct. Let's say that was annual number 10. So maybe with Iron Man, I'd have annual 9 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 would be over in the A's under Atlantis Attacks. What I should put there is an index card. With a cross-reference on it saying, if you're looking for...
Okay, I'm not saying that we should bring back the Dewey Decimal Card Catalog.
But this would be a good application for it. Just saying, just one sheet of paper is all it would take.
I actually do
that.
The
book you're looking for is actually under...
Because I have spare boards. Because a lot of my books I get come bagged and boarded. Even though they're not really expensive books.
Some of the Quarterman books I get are bagged and boarded. And I think
and you're like, why?
The bag and the board are actually more than half of the 25 cents that I'm paying for.
Where you go, hey, cool, free bag and board. And so that is what I do. I do
so
actually.
So you save the bags and boards for the either for the good issues.
I have bags and boards. I just pull the board out and I write the title of the right. The new thing that's beginning or the such and such filed here. Mm-hmm. But the I think that the lesson that needs to be taken away from this
is that, first of all, no one should organize their comics like you do.
Well,
that's one thing.
Yes, because we have realized that I do not have a collection as much as I have an eclection. I realized this as soon as I said, I intershelve all of my JLA standalone annuals. I'm pretty sure I lost all credibility with all
everybody,
of our listeners.
Including your father, who loves you almost as much as some of the listeners do.
Yeah, that the fact that I don't actually have Justice League Antarctica in the front, it's like fourth or fifth because it took place in 87 and the JLIs you gave me are like 82 and 85.
Okay, I'm not even going to ask where you put quarterly books. Compared to annuals.
I don't think I have any.
Okay, good. That's a relief.
Yeah. You can breathe easier.
Now, when it comes to numbering, especially number ones.
Yes.
Nobody did this better than my good friend. And I can call him that because I spoke to him once on an episode of the Book Guy Show. Jim Zub. And this was the point where Zub was working on his Image book, Skull Kickers. It's a very...
It is the greatest high fantasy comedy book. It is fabulous.
It is the funniest Dungeons & Dragons Conan story that you'll ever read. It really takes advantage of the comic form as well. But
absolutely.
That's not what we're talking about.
Nerds out there, I'm sure, have at least heard of this thing called The Gamers Dorkness Rising.
Right.
And Skull Kickers is to comics what that is to tabletop Dungeons and Dragons, where you have the roles integrated into the movie. It has the same comedy, self-referential but loving sense of humor, and pow bam.
This was an Image book. It sold almost as much in trades as it did single issues, which is to say, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, 2,000-3,000 copies of the single issues. And he and his co-writer wanted to pump that up. So they had tried to figure out a way to pump up their sales. So issues 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23, what would be that story arc?
Those issues.
Those five issues were not called. They were not called Skull Kickers 19 through 23. They were in order.
Uncanny Skull Kickers, number one.
Savage Skull Kickers, number one.
Mighty Skull Kickers, number one.
All New Secret Skull Kickers, number one.
And my favorite issue in all of history, Dark Skull Kickers Dark, number one. This may have come out at the exact month that the DC New 52 solicits happened, and I love them.
So this was somewhere between Dark Avengers and Justice League Dark, and we have a winner. And the crazy thing is, it worked.
7,000 sales of Uncanny Skull Kickers, number one.
About 6,000 of Savage Skull Kickers, number one. This is a book, and the other ones in this run sold in the 5,000s. The other one that I could find was about three issues after this event of number ones ended, when they went back to legacy numbering.
Number 27.
Sold 2,500 copies.
It worked.
It worked.
It worked.
Calling your books number one 5 months in a row, the same ongoing story had number one issues and sold three times what it's regular.
This is called using your dark powers for good.
Now, because of not just this event, but Skull Kickers, it gotten some good critical acclaim. And Zub and his artists, they were getting real work.
Yeah.
So they had to bring Skull Kickers to an end shortly after this. So the last arc of the Skull Kicker series is issues 30, 31, 32, 33, 100. Because they wanted to end on a big round number. And I assume they promised somebody at Image, or they promised their mom, or they promised somebody... Oh, we're going to do 100 issues of this, no doubt. We have a plan.
Just so that everybody knows, when I decided to bring Uncovering the Bronze Age to the end, I was very tempted to release my final feedback episode not as 5.5, but as episode 50. Or at least 10, because I was like, I gotta get to episode 10. And then I can end, because then I will have done 10. It was a very close thing to go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10.
Very tempting.
Those were almost very the seven tempting episodes of Uncovering the Bronze Age. So let me just say, you're all welcome that I did not do that. It would have driven all of our collector listeners insane.
So it's hard to think of a better use of comic book numbering than what Zoob did with Skull Kickers, but it did confuse Comic Book DB quite a bit, because I was looking it up just to get the exact numbers of when he pulled this off, and on Comic Book DB it goes from 18 to 24, because technically speaking, 19 through 23 were all one shots of five different titles, and it does say Savage Skull Kickers number one follows from Uncanny Skull Kickers number one and leads to Mighty Skull Kickers number one, but in their heads, their issues 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. That's how they should be cataloged.
So let's just say
if you have these in your collection, do not put them alphabetically. No.
Like, Jim Zoob will sense it and will personally come and kick your ass.
It's 18, 19, 21, 22, 23, 24. And
32, 33, 100.
Yeah, and you don't need to leave room for those missing 66 issues, because they ain't coming. I want to break this to you. They ain't coming. So, this did confuse Comic Book DB.
Let's just say, we, the audience, got the joke. The cataloging software
may not. So, as we said, there are a lot of ways to do numbering in comic books.
And to do titling. And
some of them funny. Some of them downright confusing. A few angering. So, again, we did shout out to folks who use or work in libraries, but of course this topic applies to everybody.
We didn't have any feedback at the start of this episode,
we're thinking we might get some from the content.
Plenty.
So please let us know how you organize your books, just very, very generally in terms of, do you do straight alphabetical? Do you do DC Marvel independent? Do you do character? Are the characters themselves alphabetical? And then within the title, you intersperse? What do you do with annuals? What do you do with events?
Where do quarterly books go?
Exactly. I'm dying to know your systems. Where
do you keep your zero issues?
Exactly.
In the trash? Who knows?
Because I'm certain that my way is the best way. But, I mean, I might be able to pick up one tip. One hint from our myriad listeners.
I get the feeling that organizing your comic book collection is much like organizing the dishwasher. There are two ways to do it. My way and wrong.
Exactly. See, finally, you understand. Can you go explain that to your mom, please? I've been trying for decades. Can you please? Are we still recording?
Only a little bit. So feel free to email us in any discussions, feedback, comments, rants.
We'd love to hear from you on this topic in particular.
So send all of that to relativelygeeky@gmail.com, or you can comment on our website where we will post this episode, relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. You can also leave us an iTunes review with 5 whole stars.
That would be great.
We can put them all together in our
organization.
Exactly,
because then we'd have to put the 1-star ones here and the 2-star and then the 5. Just make it easy on us, please. It's like I always tell my students, could you just do me a favor and turn in your homework alphabetically, please? Is that too much to ask? Just remember, and I think we have proven this, and we have given ourselves much cover for this. We know a lot of the examples we used. You may have had a fact or two wrong, a detail or two wrong, but fortunately we know that our listeners are serious comic book geeks. And a few things like a couple facts,
being wrong,
a couple little details.
No one will notice.
No one's going to care. Just let that go. Because remember, we're not experts.
We're just family. Hi, I'm Tom Zoller.
You're not Tom's... You're not the Irredeemable Wool Shag either.
I know.
Though you, like him, have never been on the Quarterman podcast.
Huh!
You know, you and Shag have a lot in common when I think... Oh, no, no, I'm not going to think about that. Never mind.
That might be our funniest episode yet.